that since day one, these little tests were your idea. Soraya, I'm nervous. I hit call, rather than play a game of guess what you're really thinking texting. She picked up on the first ring. What did she say to you? Avery? Who else? I told you already. Tell me again, I'm missing something. I don't remember her exact words. Tell me what you remember. Well, she basically stalked me while I peed, then told me she was doing a service to womankind by warning me about you. Go on. There wasn't much else. She said I wasn't worth her time and that I would figure it out on my own eventually. Then she told me to ask you why you were set on destroying her best friend's husband's company. I had already told you about Liam and Genevieve. He's a competitor. She was quiet for a minute. I googled you and Liam this morning. Blowing out a deep breath, I leaned back into my chair. And? There was a bunch of articles about how you were trying to do a hostile takeover of his company. That's right. The articles all said you were overpaying market value by almost double. I don't know much about business, but why would you do that? If it wasn't to destroy a man because you still had feelings for the woman he stole from you. The woman whose name was tattooed on your body. That's what this is about? I'm nervous, Graham. I feel like you could swallow me whole. I've been trying to. Yes, that too. But you know what I mean. You're afraid I'm going to hurt you? She sighed. Yes. Liam's company owns a 23% stake in Pembroke Industries. Last year I purchased 28% in Pembroke under a straw corporation to which I'm the sole shareholder. If I acquire Liam's company, it comes with his shares in Pembroke. That would give me 51% ownership and controlling interest. That interest is worth more than double Liam's company alone. I'm after Pembroke, not Liam. The analysts assume it's because of a grudge since he was my former employee. So you aren't still in love with Genevieve? No. And if you're concerned, you could have come to me, Soraya. I'm sorry. I guess I'm just totally freaked out by what's happening between us. As am I. But you know what I realized? What's that? Freaked out or not, whatever it is that's going on, it's going to happen. Neither one of us has the ability to stop it. So why don't you get your ass down here to my office and tell me you're sorry for jumping to conclusions in person? Is that code for hop up on your desk and we play boss secretary? I groaned. Get your ass down here. She chuckled. I'm glad my constant suffering could at least be of amusement to her. No can do, Morgan. Stop screwing with me, Soraya. I'm not. I actually can't come there. I'm not home. Where are you? Helping Delia at a trade show. We're a few hours upstate. I muttered something inarticulate under my breath. When will you be back? In the morning. The show doesn't end until after dark, and Delia is dangerous enough driving in the light. Plus, she'll pierce 100 walk-ins today at the show, and be cross-eyed by the time it's over. So we're going to crash at the hotel across the street from the show. What will you be doing all day? Assisting. I swab the area before she pierces and hold hands with the chickens. I wasn't sure I wanted to know the answer, but I asked anyway. What will you be swabbing? The usual. Ears, noses, belly buttons, tongues, nipples, a penis or two. Come again? It's clinical. Yes, that makes me feel better about you swabbing a man's cock. I'm sure Delia has her MD. Relax, it's no big deal. Yes, you're right. I am? Sure. I partially covered the phone and yelled to my secretary, who wasn't in today. Elizabeth, can you come in here a minute? Elizabeth, is that your new secretary? Yes, I'm going to wash her tits. Soraya chuckled. The woman damn laughed at me. Again. What's so funny? I've seen firsthand the way you treat secretaries. Pretty sure she wouldn't let you wash her feet, much less her tits. Sadly, she was probably right. When will I see you? Tomorrow night. Okay. I'll pick you up at 6. Works for me. I have to go now. A big tatted guy just walked into Delia's booth. They usually need hand-holding the most. Wonderful. Now I'll be picturing you swabbing some musclehead's cock while he ogles your massive rack and gets hard.
You have a pretty vivid imagination.
Tomorrow, Soraya.
Later, suit.
A few minutes after we hung up, my phone buzzed with a text from her. Soraya.
Yes, we have a deal.
I needed to get her mind off that shit with Avery, show her that there was nothing to be scared about when it came to me. Unable to concentrate on anything but seeing Soraya tonight, I left the office early, which seemed to be the norm lately. If I didn't own the company, I would have totally fired my ass. Back at my condo, I got to work chopping vegetables for the pasta primavera I was planning to make. I wasn't a gourmet cook by any means, but I could make a damn good al dente pasta. I'd texted Soraya earlier to let her know there was a change of plans. I was cooking her dinner for us at my place. It felt like the right change of pace after the gala fiasco. I needed to let her into my space and show her more of my casual side. I'd just turned on the television that was built into the wall of my kitchen, selecting a show from the DVR list when the phone rang. Soraya calling. I grabbed a towel to wipe my hands before answering it. Hey, gorgeous.
Hi.
She paused.
What is that music in the background?
The television?
Shit.
Frantically trying to lower the volume, I soon realized that the volume control wasn't working. My coolness factor was about to plummet.
Was that the opening sequence to General Hospital?
No, I lied.
Yes, it was.
Fuck. Caught in the act. I laughed guiltily. Okay, it was. You got me.
You watch soap operas?
Only this one.
And here I was thinking we didn't have anything in common.
I cleared my throat and surrendered to the embarrassment. You watch it too?
Actually, I used to. Not as much anymore.
I never really got into it until my mother became sick when I was in high school. She was obsessed with GH. When she was bedridden, I'd curl up next to her at 3 in the afternoon and keep her company while it was on. I ended up getting into some of the storylines and kept watching it after she passed. It reminds me of her. She went quiet, then said,
Graham, that is... Wow. I... That is really precious.
Feeling suddenly emotional, I quickly changed the subject. To what do I owe this phone call?
I wanted to know if I could bring anything.
Nothing but your beautiful ass, baby.
Seriously, I want to bring something.
I have it covered.
Okay, wine then.
Stubborn girl. My driver will pick you up in an hour.
All right.
I paused for a moment, then whispered her name. Soraya?
Yeah.
I can't fucking wait to see you. So immersed in setting up our table, I'd forgotten to let the doorman know to just send Soraya straight upstairs. When he rang to notify me of my visitor, I decided to mess with her a bit. Please put Miss Venedetta on the phone, I told him. She came on the line.
Yes?
My dick twitched at the sound of her voice. Soraya wasn't even in front of me, but just knowing she was downstairs was making me hard. How can I help you, miss? She giggled.
Is this General Hospital?
Little wise ass. If you'll play naughty nurse, it can be. Give him back the phone and get your ass up here. When the doorman returned to the line, I instructed him to show Soraya to the elevators. Her knock was rhythmic and loud, and Blackie immediately started barking. I spoke to my dog as I walked to the door. Yeah, yeah. Just wait till you see her. My heart started to pump faster the minute I opened it and caught sight of how breathtakingly beautiful she looked. Her hair was down, but had a wild and wavy, wind-blown look to it. The ends were still green, and she wore a matching emerald-colored blouse that was sleeveless but covered her entire neckline. There was a bow tied up at the top. Sleek, black pants looked like they'd been painted on her legs. Overall, it was a teasingly conservative ensemble compared to her usual attire. Her normally bright red lips were also bare, as if she knew I'd be eating them whole later. Fighting hard to restrain myself from mauling her, I begrudgingly placed my hands at my side. I vowed not to touch or kiss her yet, fearing that I wouldn't be able to stop. so I was going to hold back as long as I could. This night was about showing her she could trust me. Pouncing on her right out of the gate would negate that. "Come in." I took in a long whiff of her floral scent as she entered the room. The dog immediately started to jump all over her. "Get off her, Blackie." Looking amused, she handed me the bottle of wine she was carrying, bent down and lifted him up. Blackie was licking all over her face. Damn, I wanted in on that. Taking the dog from her, I cracked. "And you thought it would be me you'd need to pry off of you."
"You are being very good, Mr. Morgan."
"I'm trying," I said sincerely. She covered her mouth.
"Oh my God, Blackie, it just hit me, from General Hospital. He's named after that Blackie."
"That's right." She pointed at my face.
"You're not embarrassed, are you?"
"No."
"Because your ears are turning red."
"Fuck."
"I think it's sweet, Graham, especially that the show reminds you of your mother. Thank you for sharing that with me."
"I don't think I've ever told anyone about that. You have a way of turning me into mush, Benedetta."
"Good,"
she grinned. Circling my palms together slowly, I said, "Since we're on the subject, let's see how good your General Hospital knowledge is." She flashed the cutest smile again as she accepted my challenge.
"Lay it on me."
"There's one more thing about me, a major identifier, that has a General Hospital connection."
"What do I get if I guess it correctly?"
"A special kiss from me later."
"Oh yeah? A special one, huh?"
"I'll give you a hint."
"All right."
"It rhymes with organ."
"Oh, that line again. Okay, Morgan, your last name."
A realization seemed to hit her.
"That's right, oh my God, that name is from General Hospital too."
"The last name connection is purely coincidental, of course, but the J of my middle name stands for Jason." She nodded in understanding.
"Jason Morgan, like the character."
"My mother thought it was brilliant."
"Your mother sounds like she was very clever."
"She was. Clever, funny, bright, full of life. A lot like you, actually." I walked over to the granite counter and opened the Sauvignon Blanc she'd brought. Handing her a crystal glass, I said, "Can I show you around?" Sipping our wine, we toured the condo. Soraya particularly loved the electric fireplace in my bedroom. I couldn't wait to fuck her right in front of it someday. We finally circled back around to the living room and stopped in front of the floor-to-ceiling-length window overlooking the Manhattan skyline. She gazed out at the spectacular city lights.
"I always dreamt of having a view like this."
Meanwhile, I was gazing at nothing but her. "This view is yours. You can come here anytime you want."
"I can come here, huh?"
"I didn't mean it like that."
"Oh, I know. You're uncharacteristically polite and politically correct tonight. What's gotten into you, Graham Jason Morgan?"
"Do you not like me polite? I'm trying not to fuck anything up tonight. After what happened at the gala..."
"You're fine. You're good just the way you are. I love how honest you always are with me about your thoughts and feelings."
She leaned in and gripped my wool sweater, causing my cock to swell. I felt myself unraveling very quickly as she continued.
"In fact, I prefer blunt honesty to anything else. I always want you to tell me the truth, even if you're afraid it might offend me. I don't think you understand how much I just need the truth."
"I don't think you understand how much I need you." Now that her hands were on me, I was a goner. "And I'll give you anything you need. You want the absolute truth?"
"Yes. Tell me what you want."
"In what way? Out of life, right now? Be specific."
"What do you really want right now at this very moment?"
"You won't fault me for my answer."
"As long as it's truly what you're thinking?" "No."
My voice was thick. "I want your tongue on my cock." "Yep. I'd lost it." Her eyelashes flickered seductively.
"What else?"
"After you take me into your mouth, I want to strip you naked and eat your pussy right before I fuck you from behind with your hands plastered against this window."
"Then what?"
"I want to come inside of you." Then? Then we eat pasta in bed, naked. We both let out slight laughs before the tone turned serious again. She looked around my living room.
When did it get so dark all of a sudden?
I don't know. I haven't noticed much else besides you since you walked in that door. That's the truth.
Thank you for being honest with me, Graham.
It was the last thing she said before she placed her fingers on the bow at her neckline, slowly untying it. Well, fuck. This was apparently the reward for my honesty. She undid the buttons and her satin blouse fell to the ground. When she unsnapped her black lace bra from the front, her tits sprung out. Even though it was dark, the lights of the city let in enough illumination for me to see her nipples pucker from the cold air. Letting out a shaky breath, I said, "Let me warm you up." I bent down and sucked her breast mercilessly into my mouth. She let out a moan the second my lips touched her skin. Soraya dug her fingers into my sweater, tugging on it and pulling it over my head. Pressing my bare chest into hers, I took her tongue into my mouth and sucked on it slowly. My cock, now fully hard, was bursting through my jeans against her stomach. Then, the feel of her little hand sliding over my crotch obliterated the last bit of the control within me. She suddenly dropped to her knees. I was done. My heart seemed to be beating faster than it could handle as she unzipped me and took my cock out. It felt like time stood still as she looked up at me and slid her tongue ring in a slow circle across my crown that was already wet and ready for her mouth. My head seemed to fall back involuntarily from the sensation that could only be described as absolute bliss. This was heaven. When she suddenly lowered her jaw, taking me fully, my balls tightened in a desperate attempt to keep from coming instantly down her beautiful throat. I realized that I was in bigger trouble than I ever imagined, because there was no way I could ever let go of her now that I knew what this felt like. All I could think about was how I couldn't wait to be inside of her, how I wanted to claim every inch of her, every orifice. I wanted to own her. But the truth was, she already owned me. I was so fucked. Slow down, baby. My cell phone started to ring. Shit. There was no way in hell I was answering that. When the home phone started ringing immediately after, my stomach dropped because I knew it was my grandmother. Mimi was the only person who had my landline home number. The answering machine picked up.
Mr. Morgan, this is Cambria Lynch, your grandmother's social worker. She had a pretty bad fall today and is at Westchester Hospital. I'm calling to let you know.
The rest of the message was muffled. Soraya released my cock from her mouth and jumped back when she processed the words on the answering machine. I ran to the phone and picked it up, but Cambria had already hung up. Tucking myself back into my pants, I was in a complete fog when I looked back over at her. I need to head to the hospital. Soraya started frantically putting her clothes back on.
I'm going with you.
I practically tripped over Blackie, who was apparently riled up because he was humping his toy on the ground. I prayed that one of the best nights of my life didn't turn into one of the worst.
Chapter 12. Soraya. My stomach was nauseous the entire ride to the hospital. Poor Graham. The worry in his eyes was evident as he kept staring blankly ahead. His driver had taken the rest of the night off, so Graham drove us in his BMW to Westchester. I placed my hand on his leg. She'll be okay.
Yeah,
he said without taking his eyes off the road. An hour later, we pulled up to Westchester Hospital. Graham took my hand as we scurried toward the entrance.
My grandmother is here, Lil Morgan. Where can I find her?
Graham asked the woman at the front desk. Room 257, she said. The elevator ride was extremely nerve-wracking. The antiseptic smell of the hospital made me sick to my stomach. When we got to the room, a doctor and a nurse were standing next to Lil's bed. I immediately recognized her as the old woman with the blue hair from the pictures in Graham's phone. My heart warmed at the way her eyes brightened when she saw him.
Graham, who told you I was here?
Cambria called. Are you okay?
I didn't want her to worry you.
She did the right thing. What happened?
I don't remember. I slipped and fell, but I don't know how it happened. They're saying I broke my hip.
The male doctor held out his hand.
Mr. Morgan, I'm Dr. Spork. Doctor, can we speak outside for a moment?
Certainly.
Graham walked out of the room with the doctor, and the nurse followed them out. They'd left me all alone with Lil. I'd still been looking out toward the door when her voice startled me.
You must be Soraya.
It floored me that she knew my name, that he'd mentioned me to her.
That's right. It's nice to meet you, Lil.
I smiled and sat down on the chair adjacent to her bed.
I can see now why he's so taken with you. You have a dark, natural beauty that's rare to come by.
Thank you so much.
Her voice sounded tired and weak.
Graham is very private. He may never give me the chance to get you alone again, so forgive me if I'm laying a lot on you at once.
I swallowed, not expecting an interrogation.
Okay.
I know, at times, my grandson can be an absolute prick.
I let out the breath I'd been holding and laughed.
Yeah, I found that out pretty quickly when we first met.
And I heard that you called him out on his crap.
I did.
Good. But, you know, that's not really who he is deep down.
I'm starting to see that.
When his mother died, he internalized everything. It took a long time for him to put himself out there, and the one time he took a chance, he got burned.
Genevieve.
Lil looked shocked.
So, he told you about her?
Well, I know a little. I know that she's with his former friend Liam now.
Yes. That situation was bad. In many ways, it undid any progress he'd made after my daughter Celia died. I honestly wasn't sure if Graham would ever open his heart to anyone again. But I sense it might be happening with you.
Hearing her say that made my heart feel like it was going to burst.
I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that there's a lot more to him than he shows. It seems you know more than I thought you did, which is good. Just don't let him convince you that he's unbreakable.
I'm more afraid of him breaking me, to be honest.
Don't be afraid to get hurt. It's far better than never experiencing anything earth-shattering. Even temporary joy is better than nothing at all. You're afraid of getting hurt like I'm afraid to die. That doesn't mean I'm not going to live every day to its fullest.
I placed my hand over hers.
Thank you for that advice.
Graham walked in at that exact moment.
Uh-oh. I smell trouble stirring up.
Lil's face once again lit up when he entered the room.
While I wish you hadn't come all the way down here, I'm really happy to have met Soraya. I hope I didn't ruin your evening.
Nah, we were just eating pasta.
He glanced over at me briefly, and we gave each other a knowing look.
What did the doctor say about me?
Lil asked.
He thinks you need hip surgery. They're gonna keep you here for a couple of days, then move you to a rehab center. I'm gonna work with Cambria to make sure they put you in a top-of-the-line facility.
I don't want you getting stressed out over me.
You could have hit your head. You don't even remember how it happened. Of course I'm gonna worry. I'm just glad it wasn't worse, Mimi.
Me too, I said.
We sat with Lil for another hour before driving back to the city. Graham put on classical music and stayed completely quiet during the ride. When we finally entered Manhattan, I was the first to speak.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm fine. It's just...
What?
It just hit me more than ever tonight that she's the only family I have. My mother was an only child. My grandmother is literally it. When she passes, I won't have anyone left. It's just kind of a sobering thought.
You'll have a family of your own someday.
He caught me off guard with a question I didn't see coming. Do you want kids, Soraya?
I could only give him the honest answer. I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I can't say that I'm 100% sure. I'm hoping I will be sure by the time I have to make a decision.
Are the doubts you're having because of the situation with your father?
Partly. I haven't really analyzed it too much, though. I just don't feel absolutely certain that motherhood is in the cards for me. He looked pensive upon my reply. Maybe that wasn't what he wanted to hear, but I didn't want to lie to him. It was how I'd always felt. Looking over at him, I asked, "Are you taking me home?"
I wasn't planning to.
A look of disappointment washed over his face.
Why? Do you want to go home?
I just thought maybe with everything that happened with Lil...
You thought I'd want to be alone?
No,
I don't want to be alone, Soraya. I'm tired of being alone. I want you in my fucking bed tonight. We don't have to do anything. I just want to hold you while I fall asleep. That's what I want, if that's okay with you.
Even though it scared me, I wanted nothing more. Okay. Yeah.
Graham never had a chance to cook his pasta dish. Since it was late, we stopped for takeout Szechuan and brought it upstairs to his condo. We passed the paper containers back and forth to each other as we sat with our legs crossed on his living room floor, watching General Hospital.
I could get used to this,
he said, slurping a noodle into his mouth. An uncharacteristically boyish charm shone through his face in that moment. My heart clenched.
Tonight was the first time that it really hit me that things were getting serious between us.
As much as his question about whether I wanted children had rattled me earlier, I realized there was no going back. I needed to see where the tide took us. As Lil said, it would be better to get hurt than to never know. After we cleaned up, Graham quietly led me into his bedroom. I watched as he pulled his sweater over his head. Admiring the tattoo that Tig had inked onto Graham's side, I licked my lips, wanting desperately to taste his skin. He walked to the bathroom and returned with black pajama pants on, then tossed a blue t-shirt at me.
I want you to sleep in my shirt.
He watched intently as I unbuttoned my blouse. His mouth looked like it was watering, and his eyes were glued to my chest as I threw the t-shirt over my head. I got into his massive bed, my body immediately sinking into the plush memory foam mattress. This bed was fit for a king, or a Morgan. He got behind me and enveloped my body in his arms. His breathing slowed, and I realized he was falling asleep, calm as a baby. I soon followed suit. It was 4 a.m. when something woke me up. Graham was turned to me with his eyes open.
I love watching you sleep.
My voice was groggy.
If I knew you were watching me, I wouldn't have been able to.
He chuckled.
What woke you up?
I don't know. Maybe it was just my intuition?
You know what I think?
What?
I think you wanted to peek under the blanket.
And here I thought the dirty bastard in you had taken the night off.
Never. He's always here, even when he's quiet.
He laughed, and his smile nearly melted me. He locked his fingers with mine.
Seriously, though, I think there's something weighing on you.
How do you know?
Your eyes?
Your grandmother told me I shouldn't be afraid of getting hurt.
She's a wise woman. You should listen to her, but can I tell you a secret?
Yes?
You terrify me, Soraya.
Likewise.
But that's the very reason that I just know.
Know what?
That this could be the real thing.
The real thing? I need to learn to stop worrying about tomorrow. Just enjoy today, I whispered.
Graham brought my hand to his mouth and kissed it. No one knows what's going to happen from one day to the next, but if the world were to end tomorrow, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you. That tells me everything I need to know.
When he pressed his lips into mine, it felt different from any of the other times he'd kissed me. More passionate. Almost desperate. It felt like he was releasing all of the pent-up tension in his body into me. What started off slow and sensual soon turned wild and frenzied. No longer able to control the need for him, I made a conscious decision to let go of all my insecurities. Even if just for this moment in time. Here, in this bed, I felt safe. That was all that mattered. As if he could read my mind, Graham climbed over me, pinning me down with his arms on each side of me. He hovered over me for the longest time, just staring into my eyes. He seemed to be holding back, seeking permission. So? I silently nodded, letting him know that I was game for whatever he had in store. He closed his eyes for a moment, then opened them again. He never took his eyes off me as his large hand worked to slowly slide my underwear off. He cupped me right between the legs as I throbbed, so wet and ready for him. He clenched his jaw.
Fuck. Soraya, I need to be inside. Now.
With his boxer briefs still on, he ground his cock against me. I squeezed his ass, pushing him against my clit, so incredibly aroused. He pulled off his underwear, and now his bare cock felt hot against my stomach. Spreading my legs as wide as they could go, I couldn't wait a second longer. Gripping his shaft, I led him into my opening. Unprepared for his girth, I gasped before slowly easing him in.
Oh, fuck. You feel... fuck.
He muttered against my mouth as he moved slowly in and out of me. He pulled his face back to look at me. His pupils were dilated as he continued to stare into my eyes, almost hypnotically with every thrust. No man had ever looked at me like that during sex. He was fucking me, body and soul, and I just knew that this was going to ruin me forever. The room was completely still. I could hear nothing but the sound of our wet, slapping arousal as he fucked me as deeply as he could. His hands were pulling at my hair harder, and when his breathing became uneven, I knew he was losing control.
I'm gonna come so hard, Soraya. He gritted his teeth. So fucking hard.
Those words were all it took as I felt my muscles pulsating around his cock. He could feel my orgasm and finally let himself go. His hips bucked as he fucked me harder, letting out a loud groan before coming inside of me. Collapsing, he gently kissed my neck over and over. Staying inside of me for the longest time. When he eventually pulled out, I could feel his hot cum streaming slowly down my inner thighs. I'd never known what that felt like, because I'd never let a man come inside of me before. I was no virgin, but somehow it felt like my first real time. Far more intimate and intense than anything I had ever done with anyone. It felt like I should have wanted to run to the shower, but it was just the opposite. I wanted the remnants of him to stay inside of me. He kissed me softly until I slowly fell back asleep, wondering if anything I could ever conjure up in my dreams would top the reality of what I'd just experienced. The next day in work, a complete and utter fog followed me around all day.
Nothing Ida was saying was registering. My mind kept replaying the events of the night before. The few hours before I was set to see him again seemed like an eternity. It felt like a drug addiction, for Christ's sake. I assumed he'd been quiet all day, until I checked the Ask Ida email account. Dear Ida, this is the former celibate in Manhattan. You might also remember me as Stuck Up Suit. I thought it would be polite to provide you with an update to my situation, seeing as though you've been so helpful thus far. The good news? I'm happy to say that I'm no longer celibate. The bad news? Now that I've had her, I want to be inside of her every second of the day. I can't stop thinking of fucking her in every which way. I'm worried that she may eventually tire of my insatiable appetite. So, my question to you is there such a thing as too much sex? Fucked in Manhattan. Dear Fucked in Manhattan, congratulations on ending your celibacy. I guess the answer to your question would depend on how good you are in bed. Assuming that your performance is favorable, which I highly suspect it is, I don't think you will have a problem. You may also be veering on the side of presumptuous in assuming that your lady friend would find an overabundance of sex unfavorable. Don't underestimate a woman's own voracious libido. That evening, Graham was supposed to call to let me know what time his driver would be picking me up to take me to the condo. It was unlike him to be running so late without calling me. My paranoid side got the best of me as I picked up the phone and dialed him. He answered.
Soraya.
The tone of his voice sounded sullen. What the fuck? I've been waiting for your call. Is everything all right? He let out a deep breath into the phone.
No, I'm afraid it's not.
My heart started to palpitate. What's going on?
I just got some news a little while ago.
News?
It's Liam.
Your ex-friend? Genevieve's husband? What about him? There was a long moment of silence.
He's dead.
Chapter 13 Soraya. The anxious feeling I had after speaking to Graham last night had carried over into my sleep. I tossed and turned all night, unable to settle. By morning, I was downright antsy. Graham had said he was going into the office to work on some business last night. He had planned to take over Liam's company through smart business maneuvers, but had no intention of taking advantage of the man's death to get what he wanted. Although, that wouldn't stop others. The vultures, he said, would be scavenging first thing this morning when news broke. Graham was going to somehow freeze out others from taking advantage and postpone his own planned takeover. I was disappointed he wasn't on our usual train, although I hadn't really expected him to be. Soraya, how are you this morning? Graham.
Tired. I'm still at the office.
Soraya. You mean you stayed there all night? Graham.
I did.
Soraya. I'm sorry. This must be difficult for you. Is there something I can do? Graham.
Just hang in there for me, please. I'm going to be swamped for a few days.
If I was unclear on just how affected Graham was by the news, his response solidified he was not himself. He hadn't suggested I should crawl under his desk or spread my legs when I asked him if there was anything I could do. Soraya. Of course. Arriving at my stop, I exited the train and began my usual morning routine of stopping at Anil's coffee truck. After I placed my order, a thought hit me. Can you make that 2 coffees? And also 2 buttered bagels and 2 orange juices? It wasn't exactly gourmet, but it would make me feel better to do something for him. The man had followed me and sent Indian food because he thought I liked it. A bagel and coffee was the least I could do.
Heading back to the station, I called Ida and left a message I would be late, then hopped on the A train. 20 minutes later, I arrived at Morgan Financial Holdings. Stepping out of the elevator on the 20th floor, the gold lettering above the glass doors suddenly made me nervous. I had started to become accustomed to the butterflies that I got around Graham, but being on his turf, in the arena where I knew he ruled with an iron fist, had me feeling intimidated. And I hated that. I squared my shoulders and walked to the receptionist. It was the same young redhead from the day I brought back his phone.
Can I help you?
Yes. I'd like to see Graham. She looked me up and down.
Graham? You mean Mr. Morgan?
Yes, Graham J. Morgan.
Do you have an appointment?
Not this shit again.
No, but he'll want to see me. If you can just let him know Soraya is here. Mr. Morgan doesn't want to be interrupted.
Look, I know you have a job, and judging from our interactions, you're probably even good at it. You seem to do a great job of blowing people off, but trust me on this one, you won't get in trouble for interrupting him to tell him I'm here.
I'm sorry, he was very specific.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm fucking him, okay? Just tell Graham I'm here, or I'm going to walk past you anyway.
The woman blinked twice.
Excuse me?
I leaned in. Fucking him. You know, you insert...
Soraya?
Graham's voice stopped me from continuing my anatomy lesson. He was coming down the hall toward me, taking long strides. I turned and waited, rather than walking to meet him. Damn. He was wearing those glasses again.
What a nice surprise.
Your receptionist didn't seem to think so. Graham quirked an eyebrow, his lip hinting at amusement, then turned to his employee with his business mask on.
Ms. Venidetta doesn't need an appointment.
He looked to me and back to his receptionist.
Ever.
He took my elbow and steered me down the hall he had just come from. The woman sitting at the desk outside of his office stood as we approached.
Cancel my 9 a.m. call, Rebecca.
It's Eliza.
Whatever.
He shut the door behind us, and no sooner than it closed, I was up against it, and Graham sealed his mouth over mine. The brown paper bag carrying the bagels dropped to the floor, my fingers needing to thread into his hair. He kissed me long and hard, his tongue doing that aggressive dance with mine while his hard body crushed me against the door. The desperation of his need turned me on instantly. Reaching down, he lifted one of my legs, allowing him to press deeper into me in just the right place. Oh, God.
Graham.
He groaned.
Graham!
My hand holding the coffee was starting to shake.
I'm going to drop the coffees.
So drop them.
He mumbled against my lips, and then his tongue was back searching.
Graham!
I chuckled into our joined mouths. He hissed out a frustrated breath.
I need you.
Can you let me put down the coffees and maybe take a look around your office before you maul me?
He leaned his forehead against mine.
Are you asking me? Or telling me?
Considering that sounds like the answer will be no if it's a question, I'm telling you.
He groaned, but stepped back.
I love the glasses, by the way. Not sure if I told you that the other night when you wore them to Tiggs.
I'll throw away my contacts.
I walked to his desk, getting my first look around his office as I set down the coffees. Floor-to-ceiling windows overlooked the Manhattan skyline on two sides of his corner office. There was a large mahogany desk, positioned at an angle that faced one glass wall. Not one, but two sleek computers were positioned next to each other on his desk. The top of the desk had various case files strewn about, and piles of documents were flipped open in mid-review.
Your office is beautiful. But it looks like you're busy. I won't stay long.
I just came to drop off a bagel and coffee.
Thank you. You didn't have to do that.
I wanted to. I got my first full look at him. He was still gorgeous, but he looked tired and stressed. You look exhausted.
I'll survive.
He motioned to a seating area.
Come, sit, have breakfast with me. I actually haven't eaten anything since last night.
The other side of the office had a long leather couch with two wingback chairs across from it, and a glass coffee table separating the seating. Graham sat, and I pulled out the bagels and unwrapped them. I got you what I like, since I wasn't sure what you liked.
I'll eat whatever you feed me.
In that case...
A dirty grin crossed his face.
Don't think I won't hold you down on this couch and feast on you until my entire staff knows you're a religious girl.
I shoved my bagel into my mouth to stop myself from daring him. The minute it took to chew and swallow also let me get my libido somewhat under control.
So, were you able to ward off the bad guys?
I am one of the bad guys, Soraya.
You know what I mean. To stop people from taking advantage.
Yes. And no. It's complicated. In our business, there are many layers of ownership. I'm working through those layers now. But it seems Liam had established a poison pill to deter a takeover from an unwanted party. That poison allows existing shareholders to purchase additional shares at a discounted price, which would dilute the value of shares and make the acquisition less attractive to prospective takeovers.
So he had an escape plan?
Exactly. And it would have worked well had he granted those rights to a corporation that was trustworthy.
I take it he didn't.
Graham shook his head.
No.
Sounds complicated. And messy.
It is.
How are you handling the non-business stuff?
The non-business stuff?
You lost a friend?
An ex-friend.
I nodded. An ex-friend, but he must have been someone you cared about for a period of your life since you started your business together.
At one point, yes. But as you know, things changed.
I saw on the news this morning that it was a heart attack.
Happened in the car. He swerved off the road and hit a tree. Was dead by the time the police arrived. Luckily, no one else was in the car. Genevieve said he was supposed to have had their daughter in the car, but she wasn't feeling well, so she stayed home. Otherwise...
He saw the look on my face.
I spoke to her this morning. She called for help with the business issues, but I was already working on it.
I didn't realize you were friendly.
We aren't. It was a business call. She knew I would help, and there would be a benefit for both of us to stop others from devaluing the company.
I nodded. It made sense. And it was ridiculous that I was jealous of a woman who lost her husband yesterday. How is your grandmother?
She told Cambria to let me know she was cutting me out of her will if I didn't break her out of the hospital.
Oh, no.
Actually, that's good. It means she's feeling like herself again. When she's agreeable and compliant, it scares me.
The relationship he had with his grandmother was fast becoming my favorite thing about him. You can tell a lot about a man by watching how he treats the matriarch of the family. Is she still at Westchester Hospital?
I had her moved to the hospital for special surgery.
That's on 70th, right?
It is.
It's only a few blocks from my office. Why don't I stop in at lunch and visit her? You're swamped here, obviously.
Graham searched my face.
That would be great. Thank you.
No problem.
Will you stay with me tonight?
At your place?
Yes. My driver can pick you up after work and take you out to Brooklyn to collect your things and then take you to my place. I'll meet you there after I'm done here. The doorman will let you in if I'm not back yet.
Okay. We chatted for a while longer while we ate. After we finished our bagels, I gathered our garbage. I need to get to the office, or Ida will come up with a list of things she needs to be done that she really doesn't, but will keep me in the office until 9 o'clock. Graham kissed me goodbye, and I stopped it before it got too out of control this time. Does this mean you're going to take a train since I'll have your driver?
It does.
Commoner.
Let's not forget how we met. I take the train every morning now.
Now? You mean you didn't before?
A smile spread across his face.
The first time I'd taken the train to work in years was the day I lost my phone. My driver was on vacation that week.
But you've been taking it ever since, too?
I have a reason to now.
The anticipation I'd felt since our phone call last night finally quelled a bit after leaving Graham's office. I wanted nothing more than to have trust in what was growing between us, yet a part of me was still afraid. He was so confident and fearless, and I tried to use that to reassure myself. I hated that weak and scared part of me. It was time I figured out how to get rid of it.
Mrs. Morgan?
I cracked open the door and peeked my head into her room. She was sitting up in bed watching TV.
Come in. Come in, dear, and call me Lil.
I texted Graham to find out what she liked to eat and brought her a fish fillet from McDonald's, which Graham had told me was crap, but also her favorite junk food. I thought maybe you could use some company today. Graham's been stuck at the office since yesterday. I work nearby.
Is that a fish sandwich I smell?
I smiled.
Sure is.
Graham thinks because it's not from some swanky restaurant that charges $60 for a meal as big as a quarter that it's not good food. Love the boy, but he can be a downright snob with his head stuck up his own ass sometimes.
I laughed, thinking stuck-up suit. He does have an elitist side to him at times. There was a snack tray on wheels in the corner, so I pulled it closer and set up her lunch, then set up mine.
Is that a soap opera you're watching?
Days of Our Lives. My daughter got me hooked on them.
She got her son hooked, too, I chuckled.
You know about that?
I do. It's sort of out of character for him.
It wasn't at one time. Believe it or not, that man used to be a mush. He was with my Celia, anyway. Boy idolized his mother. Took it hard when she passed. Probably why he's the way he is. Doesn't get attached to many women, if you know what I mean. The ones he did get attached to didn't stick around. Wasn't my Celia's fault, of course.
I knew she was also referring to Genevieve. The first woman he opened up to after his mother died had let him down. I'd never even met the woman, yet despised her already. How are you feeling? Graham said your surgery is Friday.
I feel good. They keep trying to get me to take pain medicine, but I don't need it, and it makes me sleepy. I think they just like to make old people sleep all the time so we don't ask for anything.
I looked around the room. It was the nicest hospital room I'd ever been in. There was room for a half dozen patients, yet there was only one bed in the room. In the corner, there was a beautiful arrangement of flowers. Lil saw me looking.
They're from Graham. Sends me a fresh arrangement every week on Tuesday. Like clockwork. I used to have a giant garden, but it got to be too much for me to manage.
He's very thoughtful, when he wants to be.
There are two sides to that man, thoughtless and thoughtful. Not sure he got the in-between gene.
You sure have him nailed down.
Somebody's got to see him for what he is and call him on his shit.
I chuckled.
I suppose so.
Although something tells me you'll do the same. I can tell. You're good for him.
You think? We're sort of opposites in a lot of ways.
Doesn't matter. It's what's inside of you both that counts.
Thanks, Mrs.
Lil. I stayed for longer than my lunch hour, enjoying Lil telling me about the characters on her soap opera. The storylines were so far-fetched, I couldn't stop thinking about Graham watching them. He was so stern and pragmatic. When I went to leave, Lil took my hand.
He's a good man, fiercely loyal and loves his family. Very protective of his heart, but once he gives it, he doesn't take it back.
Thank you.
You can fix the rest. Pry the stick out of his ass and hit him over the head with it a few times. He's smart. He'll figure it out real quick.
Now that, I can do. Graham wasn't home when I arrived at his condo. Blackie met me at the door, springing up and down like a little crazy dog. Hey, buddy. I lifted him, and he proceeded to lick my face. I still couldn't get over the fact that Mr. Big Prick had a small, fluffy white dog. Looks like it's just you and me for a little while. I looked around the large open space. Aside from Blackie's panting, it was eerily quiet. The last two times I had been here, the tour had pretty much been limited to the inside of Graham's pants, so I used the time to snoop a bit. The condo was stunning. No doubt it was professionally decorated. Cool grays and sleek silver gave the place a bachelor feel. It could have been featured in GQ with the owner standing in the middle of the open space, his arms folded across his chest. But as beautiful as it was missing something. Personality. There was no hint to who lived here. Curious, I wandered into the living room. There was an oversized sectional facing a large, flat-screen TV hanging on the wall. Beneath it was a sleek black cabinet. It took me a minute to figure out how to open it without any handles. Inside was a DVD collection. Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, Anchorman. Huh. I kept browsing, moving up to the next shelf. Glory, Gettysburg, Gangs of New York. Make up your mind, Morgan. I ventured into the kitchen. The refrigerator was a vast smorgasbord of takeout containers. And 3 containers of Nesquik strawberry milk. Huh. In the bedroom, I eyed the nightstand. Checking out his DVD collection and the contents of his fridge was one thing, but invading his bedside table would really be crossing a line. I looked around the room for something else to check out. It was pretty barren. No pictures, no folded pieces of paper on top of the dresser from emptying his pockets the day before. My eyes narrowed in on that nightstand again. No, I said out loud to myself. I lifted Blackie up over my head and we had a talk. It would be wrong of me to go through Graham's drawer, wouldn't it, little buddy? He stuck his tongue out and licked my nose. I'll take that as a yes. Inside the walk-in closet seemed more like Graham J. Morgan. Suits lined one side, mostly dark. An obscene amount of dress shirts lined the other. Everything was neat and organized. Boring. I walked back into the bedroom, my eyes falling immediately back on the nightstand. The damn thing was haunting me. Maybe just one peek? I stroked Blackie, who was still in my arms. He purred at me. Dogs purr? A purr would be the human equivalent to a yes, wouldn't it? Just one little peek? I won't even move anything. Walking to the drawer, I slid it open with my pointer finger. Inside was a black velvet satchel, a clear bottle of something that could be lubricant, although the label was facing down, and an unopened box of condoms. Okay. So maybe I needed to move one or two things. You think there's something good in that bag, buddy? I was speaking to Blackie again. But it wasn't Blackie that answered.
I know there's something good in that bag.
Graham's deep voice scared the shit out of me. I jumped. My arms jerking upward sent Blackie sailing into the air. Luckily, he landed on the bed right side up. You scared the-